because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, yeah, they are gone. They are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Thus at the old-time altar, the God came in my heart, and my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession, the devil did depart. I'm glad my sins are gone. They are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. When Satan comes to tempt me and tries to make me doubt, I say, my sins are gone. You got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. I'm glad my sins are gone. They are underneath the blood of the sea of Bali, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. I am living now for Jesus, and happy night and day, because my sins are gone. My soul did fill with music, with all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. They are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Praise God, my sins are gone. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Not turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. Not turning back. The cross hears me, still I will follow. If no one hears me, still I will follow. If no one hears me, still I will follow. Not turning back. Now no one joins me, still I will follow. Now no one joins me, still I will follow. Now no one joins me, still I will follow. Not turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. follow Jesus, not turning back, not turning back.
Amen. There is another good song. Oh Lord, give me that old-time religion. Amen. And I can love my enemies, pray for my enemies. Like brother was preaching, really wishing good to everyone. Amen, amen, amen. That's our desire, even this evening. And after this song, brother Wilmo, will you come just to open the word of prayer? Amen. KG.
It's the old time Holy Spirit, and the devil won't go near it. That's the recipe for healing, but it's good enough for me. Oh, give me that. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, old time religion. Give me that old time religion. And it's good enough for me. It's so good. Lying, it will save you. When you die, it will start the devil flying. And it's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It's so good, I want no other. For it makes me love my brother. And it brings things from undercover. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Yes, Lord. Time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It's so good, I want no other. For it makes me love my brother. For it digs things from undercover. It's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old religion. I give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me.
Amen. Let us pray. Oh, our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, Lord, for your grace. How we thank you, Lord, for this gospel that you have sent to us. How we thank you for opportunity tonight to come into your presence once again. Father, we want to commit every brother, every sister that's here, Lord, every song that will be sung, the scriptures that will be read, the preaching of the word. Father, we commit it into your hands. Let it be your blessing, Lord, unto your people. Let it edify us and raise us up, Lord, into your presence, where we could have joy and peace, Lord, and that, Father, you would hear the prayers of your people tonight. We commit, Lord, the brethren that are not able to come tonight, remembering our brother Maxwell, Lord. We pray for him, that you would undertake for him, Lord, and make him strong once again. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would watch over the sick, Lord, and heal them once more. Father, we commit this service to you, asking for your leadership upon our brother Vladimir, as he leads us in song with the musicians. Use them, Father, mightily, Lord. Father, and we pray for the minister that will bring the word. Lord, use him also to speak unto thy people. We commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bless you, brother. Even David says, I was glad when they told to me, come to the house of the Lord. There is one good song, one of them. Amen. Amen. KG.
There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within by all glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Now these people may not learn, be known, heard of flame. They have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide His power it is the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in the upper room, all praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and power for service came. Now did it do the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will start a joy bell ringing and will keep the soul aflame. It is burning now within the heart. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Fellowship, what a joy divining on the everlasting God. What a blessedness, what a peace is mining on the everlasting God. Secure from all alarm, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrimage, leaning on the everlasting. Ah, oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarm, leaning on the everlasting God. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting. casting up with my loads on it, leaning on the everlasting leaning and secure from all la la leaning the everlasting leaning and secure from all alarm leaning on the everlasting
Amen. Don't allow your feelings to gather your behavior, brother and sister. Song says, we've got the power. Amen. Satan just comes to tell you about your feelings, but you have to think that way, like he thinks about you. Amen.
We've got the power in the name of Jesus. Got the power in the name of the Lord. Thou Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Give me your hand, let's agree together. All our enemies tremble at our feet. For whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. In the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Thou Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. For many years now, Satan tried to stop us, but the Church of Jesus is still alive. Like a mighty army, wicked marching forward, winning every battle with the Lord by our side. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Now Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Thou Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord.
John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He heard voice from heaven, and this is what he said.
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Behold, I live forevermore. Behold, I live. Behold, I live. Behold, I live forevermore. Hallelujah. Behold, I live. Behold, I live. Behold, live forevermore. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He heard voice from heaven, and this is what he said: I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Behold, I live forevermore. Behold, I live. Behold, I live home. I live forevermore. Hallelujah. Behold, I live. Behold, I live. Behold, I live forevermore. Behold, I live. Behold, I live.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. When I was in there, I was saying, when I go to the pulpit, I'll ask Brother Vladimir to lead that song, Behold, He Live Forevermore. Amen. Just before I got out, I heard him sending it. I said, this is the time to go, because the Spirit acts both sides. Amen. God bless you richly. And thank you for the worship. It was very good. From in there, I could understand that such person is in the room, because I could hear the voices. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening once again for taking us from our different homes, workplaces, colleges, everywhere, O Lord, and brought us into your house for this fellowship. As your people, we are gathered as a needy people, O Lord. We know that you know our needs. We came with our request, and we know that we won't go empty-handed. Your hand, your mighty hand, will provide for our spiritual needs and for our physical needs, O Lord. Heal those people who are sick, Heavenly Father. We remember our brother Maxwell. Heal him, O Lord, as he couldn't make it tonight. We think of our sister Ingrid as well. O Lord, she couldn't make it tonight. Let your mighty hand touch her and heal her completely, O Lord. Bless us as we gather in your name. Bless our pastor down in Carlo. Bless the gathering there, and let your anointing be upon this service. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. Let's open our Bibles. Psalms 90. From verse 1 to verse 12. I was not feeling well myself. I was sleeping most of the afternoon. There's a flu that's going on in the house there. Carmel is not feeling well as well. She's in there. So let's keep her in prayer. Read from verse 1. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turned man to destruction and says, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but a yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with flood. They are as sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy watch, in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I remember last year, around this time, my first sermon was Teach Us How to Number Our Days. And I thought we can bring it to our remembrance again as we are kicking off this new year. And let's just keep it unto God's hands, because I was not even planned to stand here tonight. Brother Maxwell was supposed to be here, but we had to stand in the gap because he's not feeling well. So we just put this meal together quickly. And we believe you have been praying for the meetings, and the Lord will help us. Amen. And let it be for some help to someone. As you have just read, last year I remember we were speaking about counting our days, counting our years. We were saying last year that why should we ask God to teach us to number our days? Don't we know how to number our days? If God in his word is asking us, he has written it, Moses, the man of God, asking God, and it was recorded in the scripture, teach us how to number our days. It means the way we number our days is not correct. Amen. The day we count our days is not correct. God must teach us how we must number our days. And if he teaches us how to number our days, then we will apply our heart unto wisdom. Amen. Because our numbering of days, the way it is set up naturally for our human understanding, if we number it that way, we won't apply our heart to wisdom. But when it teaches us how to number our days, we will be aware of what is awaiting for us, and then we will apply our heart unto wisdom. I remember we said, we are happy when we celebrate a birthday, which is good. I was 39 last year. This year, I'm 40 years old. We are happy. But most of the time, we forget that it's not actually plus one, it's minus one. Amen? It's minus one, actually. You are celebrating because you are getting closer to the day of your death. Amen? This is wise numbering of your days. We are happy I was 35, now I'm 36. But if you number it properly, you are just taking 1 year off the allocated number of years God has given you. Amen. Amen. You are, God has predestinated you. God has assigned you to live, I don't know, 90 years. When you are celebrating, I'm 35, actually, you have taken 1 year away from the 90. Amen. It was 55, now it's left 54. So if you understand it that way, and if you understand that you are accountable for the years, for the lifetime God has given you, you will know how to apply your heart to wisdom. Because you have only such an amount of days left. And when you have such a time left, and God in his wisdom, he didn't reveal to any of us how many days we are left to live. Amen? We are just saying 90. But who knows if you have only 1 year left? Who knows if you have only a few days left? But if you are aware that you have been given stewardship of a life that you'll be accountable for, you will apply your heart to wisdom. Because you are numbering your days in the correct way. It's not plus one, but it's actually minus one. You are getting closer and closer to the day where you will re-answer for what you did with the time God given you. It's like a president who has been elected for a 5 year term. That man in the White House or in any kind, in any country, that man won't be happy after spending 1 year in the presidency. He will be happy that he has been president for 1 year, but he becomes more and more concerned because he knows, I've spent 1 year as a president, that for the outside world, but for me, I know I've only 4 years left, and I've been elected based on a program that I've submitted. I've sold to these people on my campaign. I told to them, I'm going to build this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to grant you this and that. And he's checking now the 5 years, the 4 years that is left for him in the office. How far has he gone in accomplishing his promises? What he has promised, what the people have elected him for. So the more time passes, that man is not counting, I've been 5 years, I've been 4 years in the office. That man is counting, I have 300 days left in the office. Amen. That is wise. That is wisdom in counting his days. And when he knows that he has only 300 days left in the office, he will check now his objectives and the level of fulfillment. How far has he gone into fulfilling his objectives? Amen. Then you'll see that man becoming more diligent in the way he conducts the business of the state. You'll see that general manager, knowing that he'll be accountable for how he has led the company, you'll see him, even his time of entertainment become very limited. You'll see him coming to work 5 a.m. is in the office, and he won't leave up until 10 p.m. because he knows that even though people are celebrating, I've been staying longer in the office, but him, he knows my days are very few and limited, and I'll be judged according to what I have done the time I've been in the office. Amen. This is wisdom, applying your heart to wisdom in numbering your days. Amen. We are going to see in the Bible, the Psalms where we read, Moses understood that principle, that I have to apply, I have to number correctly my days, because if I don't spend it in the Lord, if I don't spend it correctly, it will be just vanity. That old Psalm 90 we read, Moses is just showing the vanity of life. Everything we are doing, everything we are spending our time on, everything we are wasting our time doing, Moses was just showing us that it's vanity. The only thing that remains is verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before Moses made that final sentence of help me, teach me how to number my days, he starts by saying, the Lord has been our dwelling place for generations. If we remain in the Lord, if we stay in the Lord, then everything he has described, that our life is just vanities, our days are numbered, we have a very limited time, all these things. But if you start by making the Lord our dwelling place for generations, you learn how to number your days correctly. Amen. You learn how to number your days correctly. Someone understood that principle. It was the prophet Daniel. He understood that principle. He knew that he didn't have all the time in the world when they were in captivity in Babylon. He came to realize that the time that has been allocated for us to live in Babylon is reaching to its end. What did he do? He applied his heart unto wisdom. He numbered the day correctly. And when he understood that principle, Daniel chapter 9. In the first year, from verse 1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books. Amen. Daniel was not spending his time, because Babylon was a very nice, beautiful city. There was a lot of things to do. There was a lot of entertainment. There was many things to do. But Daniel was not spending his time, wasting his time in these things. Daniel was reading his books. He says, I understood by books the number of the years. Daniel was not counting the years as the rest of the people. Daniel went into Bible study. Daniel went into studying the prophecy. And by reading the books, he understood the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Daniel didn't spend his time in the entertainment, in the distraction of Babylon. We are living in a world that is full of things that will keep our mind busy, so that we even forget that we have very limited time. I'm not talking about the end of the world. Amen. I'm not talking about the end of Laodicea or whatever. I'm talking about you as an individual. Amen. We have a set time. Every one of us, we must understand that we have a set time. Let's forget about the rapture. The rapture will come. Amen. But who knows if you will go through rapture or if you'll go before rapture. Amen. Because Paul, in his days, Paul was saying, us who are alive will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Paul had that hope that he will be part of the rapture. But Paul went. Even today, we have that hope that we'll be part of the rapture. But nothing tells you that God will wait until, will keep you until the rapture is there. You may be going. I've seen it. I've seen it a few days back. I've seen my wife going. Amen. I've seen my child going. Because don't expect that things will work according to your own plan. God has a set plan for you, which is different from, don't say, no, my dad has to die first, and then my mom, and then the firstborn. It doesn't work like that. Amen? It doesn't work like that. You may go first, and your dad may remain there for generations and generations. Amen. So apply your heart to wisdom, because you don't know what will happen when you go out here. Did you count correctly your days? We are at the beginning of a year. You remember on the New Year Eve, we were talking here about the new beginning. People are setting up goals that this is a new year. I make my new year resolutions. I won't do this. I won't do that. But what is the base upon which they are basing? You are basing your new year resolution. Maybe you have made your resolutions. This year, I won't do this. I won't do that. You have set your objectives for the year. But are you numbering them correctly? Are you numbering your days correctly? Have you made the Lord the center, your dwelling place, the center of your heart? Because if He is not the center of your heart, your beginning will still be another failure. Amen? Because if you don't have the person of the beginning in you, who is Jesus Christ Himself, your new beginning will be another failure. But if the beginning, who is Jesus Christ, is in you, then you'll have, as we said, a new experience of Genesis 1, when God will speak life into your life, when God will start separating all things out of you, and when God will create a new man in His own image in you. Amen? You remember that sermon. So, Daniel went into reading. He understood that wisdom is only in God. If I go into the books, if I go into reading, studying what God has said, what God has promised for this day, I will know how to apply my heart to wisdom. Let's read Colossians, because he's asking us to apply our heart to wisdom. Colossians 2, verse 3. From verse 1. Let's go from verse 1 to 3. Colossians 2, from verse 1. For I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Verse 2. That their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen. If you want to apply your heart to knowledge, if you want to apply your heart to wisdom, this is where you have to go. The only place you can find wisdom, the only place you can find the spring, the essence of wisdom, is in Jesus Christ. That's where Daniel went. When he wanted to apply his heart to wisdom, how to spend the rest of his time in Babylon, Daniel went into Jesus Christ. Daniel went into studying the word. Daniel made himself become one with the word. He forsook everything. He forsook, the Bible says, let's read it. Verse 3, Daniel 9. And I set my face to the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Amen. My brother, my sister, most of the time we play church. Most of the time we play as if we had a lot of time with us. Someone who knows that he is accountable and there's no more time remaining for him, that person doesn't waste his time in the entertainment, into distraction. Daniel went into prayer and fasting. I wonder how many of us fast here in this church. Amen? Amen. I don't need an answer. But just ask yourself, it's a self-examination. Because we think that we have a lot of time with us, we can do this, we can do that, and when I'll get to 70 years old, then I'll become serious with God. No. If you are not serious today, you won't be serious when you'll be 70. Because you'll still have a good reason. I remember at Carlo, in Wicklow, the last minister retreat we had, I mentioned, I don't know if you know that cartoon, where that man, they were asking him to believe in God. When he was a young child, he said, "Oh, I'm too young to believe in God." When he became to call in, you know, he went to college, he said, "Oh, I'm too busy with my studies to believe in God. I'll believe later." When he got married, he said, "Oh, I'm too happy to serve God now. Let me enjoy my marriage first." And after a few years, he got a good job. He said, "I'm too busy with the work to believe God." When he became old, because he was procrastinating that thing, when he became old, he said, "Oh, I'm too old to serve God now." And the cartoon ended with a grave, and it written, "Too late to serve God." Amen. If you keep on procrastinating, "I will serve the Lord tomorrow. I will become serious with God tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow." One day it will be written on your grave, "Too late to serve God." And you will answer to God for the time, the opportunities God has given you to serve him. It's never too late. How old was Samuel when he was serving God? Amen. Jesse. No, not Jesse. Well, who is sleeping there? What's her name? Elsie. Are you okay? Okay. God bless you. Ruth, how old was Samuel when he started serving God? 7. Something like that. So, it's not a matter of age. We are so glad that in this church we can see Jesse, we could see Elsie, we can see Ruth, even Nathaniel serving God, singing for the Lord. Amen. It's not a matter of age. You can serve God. Don't put it for tomorrow, 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 because that is not wisdom in numbering our days. If we number correctly our days, God can make you, you know, God can give you a special grace, like Moses calling you at 8 years old. It's a special grace. But don't expect it will be like that with you. When you have that opportunity, take it. It may be too late to serve God. Number your days correctly. Daniel went into prayer and supplication, fasting and sackcloth. You know, Daniel was he had a very high social rank in society. You know, sometimes we take our rank, our studies. You know, I'm a advocate, I'm a architect, amen. I'm this and that, so I can't do this kind of thing. Daniel was almost the king's advisor, and he was one of the highest advisors to the king. And remember, Daniel had his statues built in the city so that people could worship. Daniel was not any kind of person, but he went into sackcloth. He humbled himself. He went into ashes. He humbled himself because he understood that there is time no more. This life, my social, my prestige, everything doesn't matter because it remains only this amount of time. And if I'm not diligent with my dealing with the Lord, this body will rot one day in the tomb. My prestige and my privilege and my social rank won't count anymore. So when I'm alive, let me apply my heart to wisdom. Let me use my days correctly. Daniel went into humbling himself. He went into worship. He went into prayer, into fasting, into ashes. People could see him and ask, "But Daniel, you are a minister in this country. What are you doing?" For Daniel, what matter? It was not what the people said. What had in importance for Daniel was his relationship with God. Daniel became more serious in his relationship with God. We know the life of Daniel. Daniel was not a person that was given up to worldly life or fleshly pleasure. Daniel was a man of prayer. But when he understood by the books that the time is no more, he became more serious in his relationship with God. He became more diligent in his dealing with God. We don't mean that you are reckless in your dealing with God, But if you consider the time you are left with, you'll become more serious. You'll become more diligent in your dealing with God. Amen. And Daniel stayed in that place until an answer came. That's a prayer of someone who is desperate. Amen. Daniel was not happy with that, how do you call it, shortcut prayer, where you go, Lord, you know yourself, Lord. Before even I open my mouth, you know already. And you sleep. No. Daniel went into prayer up until he had an answer. Most of the time we become lazy in our prayer life. We become very lazy because we are not aware. We are not time aware. We are not time aware. We play because we think we have all the time. We think we possess the time. We possess eternity. But we don't. We only have such amount of time allocated to us. And if you are conscious of that, you become very serious. You become very diligent. Daniel went into, sometimes we become, oh no, I don't want to pray because mommy prayed already for the food. Even for the food. Just to say a few words. Amen. Just to say a few words of thanksgiving to the Lord. No, mommy prayed already. I remember a friend of mine back when we were growing. He was playing with the things of God, you know. So may God have mercy on him. He was just mocking people that pray. When you want to pray before you eat, he say, why don't you just pray over the tank of oil, you know. So anytime you want to cook, everything has been prayed off from the kitchen. And you just bring it and the people can eat. How can you be so light in the things of God like that? Just take some time. You have 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. And you know how much time you have to give to God? A tithe. Amen? How many give tithes to God? Tithe is not only your money. Anything that God has given, you have to give something back to. I don't mean you have to pray to 2.5 hours or something every day. But you have to be acknowledging to God for what he has done to you. Just take some time out of those 24 hours. Take some time to pray. Take some time and take quality time. Because most of the time we give God our, you know, the time that we don't need anymore. When you are full, you have done everything, gone to college, spoke about this, WhatsApp, Facebook, everything. And then when you want to go to bed, you take the future home. It's a big book like this. Say, I want to read a few words to praise the Lord. And you start reading. While your mind is already saturated, your eyelids can barely be kept open. And you start reading the word, and you read the same sentence 5 times. Amen. That's not giving God quality time. Your quality time must be the time. You know, even the tithing in the word, you remember we preached it here. It was your first fruits. Amen. Even when you are giving God something, it must be the best of your harvest. And they were giving the first fruits of their harvest. When your body is still strong in the early hours of morning. These are the time you have to, because you have to give him the first fruits of your day. The first fruits of your time. You may be busy, you may be late to go to work or whatever, but find some time in the day when you are still, sometimes when you don't say, no, I have nothing to do now, let me pray. No, find the quality time. Spend it with God. Pray. Read the word. Because God must come first. God must take the first position in your life. That is what is true worship is. You worship God because you have understood who God is for you. And when you come to understanding what God is for you, you give him the first position. You give him the first place. Then when you are numbering your days, when you are using your days wisely, you set your priorities. God comes first in everything. Amen. So Daniel became serious. He became diligent. He stayed there until the answer came. And it was not a one-time event. If you read the book of Daniel, you'll see from that time on, Daniel became very committed to praying and to staying in the presence of God. Chapter 9, you'll see God came and revealed him the 70 weeks of Daniel. Daniel was not satisfied because for him, the time was no more. There was no point of him going back to his old life. He wanted to stay constantly in the presence of the Lord. Chapter 10, you'll see Daniel spent 21 days. Amen. He became so serious in serving the Lord. He stayed 21 days because the answer didn't come. He started praying. He prayed. He said, I won't live here until I get an answer from the Lord. He didn't know there was a fight in the heavenly places. God had answered already, but Daniel was not satisfied until he had seen a sign from the Lord. Amen. That's how that wisdom in numbering our days, that applying our heart into wisdom. Someone else who knew that he didn't number his days correctly in life, he understood by the books, by revelation, that this is the time I have to apply my heart to wisdom. It was Jacob. Amen. Let's read. Jacob says something very significant because we are very distracted in the way in our lives. We think, oh, I served the Lord and that's fine. God has blessed me. I'm 50 years, I'm 70 years old and so forth. But is that what God looks at? Is that the way God counts your years? Genesis 47, verse 8 and 9. Genesis 47, 8 and 9. Let me read. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old are you? Amen. This was a good question. Pharaoh saw Jacob, and so he saw an old man. He said, how old are you? Listen now to the answer of Jacob. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Amen. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of the pilgrimage. Amen. I don't know if you have caught something here. Jacob is making a difference between the days of his pilgrimage and the days of his life. Amen. This is a very important principle. Jacob thought life was just about, before Jacob met God, for him life was just about, you know, cheating, lying, doing this, you know, just making problems with people. He cheats here, he runs away, he goes to the other place, he goes and maybe something bad there, he runs away on the other side. He was a man of problem. His brother was after him, his father-in-law, and this and that. But now when he reached towards the end of his life, Pharaoh asks him now, after Jacob has met the person of wisdom, after Jacob had applied his heart to wisdom, after Jacob had went into studying the books, amen, now he understood now how old he was. And Jacob said, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. But out of those 130s, he said, few and evil have the days of the years of my life. Amen. So, for Jacob, all his life, even if he could have lived, I don't know, 500 or 600, but that's what mattered for Jacob. For Jacob, the days of his pilgrimage didn't matter. For him, it was the day he spent with the Lord. the days of his life, the time he spent after he understood the principle of numbering his day. And when Jacob realized that he was in the presence of the man who could turn his heart into wisdom, Jacob remained there until something happened in his life. Amen. For Jacob, it was okay before. He could live, do this and do that and cheat and do this, lie, everything. But it came one day, by the reading of the books, Daniel understood that this is the person of wisdom. Jacob remained there all night. Amen. Jacob didn't make a 5-minute prayer. When Jacob realized that he's standing in the person of eternal life, who can change my way of numbering my days, Jacob stood there. He remained there all night. He fought. He separated himself from all his family. If you read the chapter, you'll see. He started by sending the servants. He started by sending the cattle. He sent the children. And at the end, he sent his wives. He remained alone. There's a time when you have to take the things of God seriously. Separate yourself from everything. It must become a matter of life and death. For Jacob, it was a matter of life and death that night. When he understood that I'm standing in the presence of the person of wisdom himself, it's a matter of life or death. He abandoned everything. His riches, his business, his children, his pleasure, everything, he stayed there until a change happened in his life. And from that moment on, that's when he could tell the king of Egypt, the days of my pilgrimage have been so much, but the true days of my life have been very few. Amen. That's numbering your days correctly, wisely. That wisdom in your way of numbering your day. So as we said, we are going to close. If you are aware that you have a very limited time, we'll see it in your behavior. Someone who have no time, someone who think he has all the time in the world, see even the way he walk in the streets. He'll go there when they sell newspapers. He'll stand there, start reading every newspaper. Ah, they said okay, Brexit. Okay, that's fine. Okay, what did they say? He has all the time in the world. But someone who is running after a train, going to city center in Dublin around 5 p.m. You'll see, you can make the difference between people that have all the time and people that don't have time. When they're catching, running after their train, sometimes you say, okay, I'm just going to Malahide. So if I miss the train, I'll catch the next train, it's 15 minutes later. Someone who is going to Sligo, the train comes every 2 hours. You'll see those people, they are rushing. In their behavior, you understand that this man has no time. He's counting, he knows that if I miss this, I'll have to wait. Maybe this is the last train. I'll have to find an accommodation in Dublin. I have to do this. You'll see their behavior is different. Amen. Why? Wise wisdom in numbering of your time. Because he knows he has only 15 minutes left. Those 15 minutes, if he walks normally, it will take him 25 minutes to get to the train station. So what I have to do now is run. No matter. Sometimes you see even a car about to hit him, but he doesn't care. Why? Because he knows he's numbering his minutes, his time correctly. This is what we are asked to do. As believers, we think we can do whatever we want. Go to church, come late. There's many, we have genuine reasons. But if there is no reason, you have been all day in the house, you didn't even open your Bible to read. You didn't even testify to someone. You didn't take time to pray. You didn't know. just come to church late to do your religion because you want people to see you, you went to church. Remember, we have no time. There's no time anymore. You can't continue, keep on playing church. It's time now to become diligent with God. As we start a new year, just look, set your objectives, and go into the reading, go into the person of wisdom, go to that person of the beginning. He will help you start a new beginning with him as the center of your decision, with him as the center of your goals. And when you have set up those goals in Jesus Christ, him being the headstone, the cornerstone of your new beginning, don't forget. Sometimes we set up goals and we go and we forget. But in good management, when you have set up goals, all the way along, you'll have milestones. Amen. In any planning, you'll have milestones. You say, okay, I'll do this and this and this and this this year. But how will you know you are on the right path if you have not set milestones? At some stage in your Christian life, you have to stand to call for a halt and see, how far have I gone? Am I doing well? What is not working? In my plan, in my objective, I've said I'll do this, I'll do that, but something is wrong. I've gone back to my old habits. You have to have milestones set in your life to stand and check. Have I gone? What is not working in my walk with the Lord? And study and go back to studying the books and apply your heart to wisdom once again and resume your walk. Because if you don't check where you are with the Lord, you may just go, okay, I'm fine. Let's go. You have set up a goal to go to Cork, but you don't notice that the billboard on the road, they say now Belfast. Just check your mind. You are going to Cork, but you say Belfast, 150 kilometers. Something is wrong. Amen? Something is wrong. You have to be, these are milestones in your walk. We are going to heaven, but are you seeing your walk getting closer to heaven? We are going to Cork. I must see as I go. Cork, it was 150 kilometers. A few miles later, it must become 90 kilometers. And I must see Cork. I must see Cork, 90 kilometers. Cork, 50 kilometers. If I start seeing Belfast, something is wrong. Amen. That's good planning. That's good numbering of your days. That's good management of time, the time God gave you. It's not just about coming to church, going home, coming to church, going home, but are you progressing in your walk? Are you achieving something in the stature of a perfect man? Are you getting closer to the perfect love, to the headstone? Are you getting closer? Where are you in the building of the edifice? Amen. These are the milestones that you have to check. Last year, I was in bondage of cigarettes. Where am I in that walk? I can see the cigarettes are gone. I've done some progress in the Lord. If I can still go back to pornography year after year, ask yourself, there's something wrong. Amen. There's something wrong. Are you going forward or are you going backward? Or are you on a standstill? Ask yourself those questions. You have set up goals by studying the books. Ask the person of wisdom himself to come and lead you and check your walk with him on a daily basis. Where are you in your walk with the Lord? Are you getting closer to heaven or are you going further to heaven day after day? Amen. This is very important, my brother, my sister, because life is full of surprise. We don't know what is waiting for us. We don't know what to expect. But the only thing we are sure of, we'll have to answer one day. We don't know how many years I've left. We don't know how many years as every one of us left with. But there's something. The clock is ticking. And the more the clock is ticking, the closer you are getting to the day you'll answer. How have you numbered your day? Have you numbered them correctly? This is an opportunity for you, for me, to ask God to teach us, to give us that revelation, how to number correctly our days. And then we will apply our heart to wisdom. Then we'll apply our hearts, we'll spend our time on the important things. And the only thing that is important, the only thing that remains, Moses said, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Amen. This is the thing that we need to apply our heart into seeking, to make the Lord our dwelling place, to find Jesus Christ, to become in that, to enter that intimacy with Jesus Christ. Day after day, we must see that relationship between you and Jesus Christ, the gap closing small and smaller day after day, until one day you will say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. God bless you as we call our musicians.
Teach me, Lord, to wait. Oh, down on my knees, till in your own good time you answer my need. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to teach me, Lord, to wait. While hearts are aflame, help me humble my pride and call on your name. Keep my faith renewed. Keep my eyes on thee. Help me be on this heart what you want me to be. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not Lord, to
pray. Amen. Let's close our eyes. This is a time that we are going to take, brother, sister. Just consider your ways. just consider how you have walked so far with the Lord. The Lord has given you so many years so far. 20, 15, 11, 35, and so forth. But how many are the years you can count in the presence of the Lord? How much of that time have you spent in the presence of the Lord, serving the Lord? We are going to ask the Lord to teach us how to number our days. Because if we keep on counting, numbering by our own wisdom, we'll go straight into destruction. And it will be too late one day. But now that we have the time, now that we have the opportunity, we have the freedom, God has given us a country where everyone can practice their religion according to what they believe. My brother, my sister, why don't you take that opportunity to examine how you have walked with the Lord so far? Is there anything you need to fix with the Lord? Examine yourself. That sin that has bothered you for many years now. We are the church of the living God, and nothing can stand before us. God said unto Joshua, be of good courage. As long as you'll stay in the word that the prophet Moses has taught, nothing will stand on your way. Even Jericho, as walled as it was, with very tall and thick walls, it fell and crumbled before Joshua. And we are under the Joshua Commission. It's just a matter of you becoming diligent in your way, in your dealing with the Lord. Are you really serious in the way you take the things of the Lord? Do you spend time, quality time with God? Or is it just the useless time that you don't see what to do, then you say, I'm going to pray or read the book or listen to a tape? My sister, this is the time. As we are at the beginning of the year, just think of it. When the world is there making their resolutions, and many of them have broken it already, but you have the person of Jesus Christ standing before you. Like Jacob, you are standing in his presence. Why do you want to leave him before a change has happened in your life? Jacob could raise that morning when the sun was rising. Jacob had many evidence that he has been in the presence of the Lord. People could see Jacob and say he walked different. He has met something. His name has been changed. God has given him a portion of his name. How long will you wait for God to put his name in you? How long will you wait to see God changing, giving you that weakness that people will acknowledge that you have been fighting with God all night? My brother, my sister, one day it will be too late. But before it is late, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made for you to stand in his presence. Because if you don't take this opportunity, one day you'll stand in his presence, but it will be to answer for what you have done, and it will be too late. If I leave the holy land and do the love, I know the Lord will make a way. If I live in the holy land, shine the rock and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. know the Lord will make a way. Let's pray, my brother. Let's pray, sister. Just commit this moment into God's hands. Commit yourself into God's hands. Ask for His mercy. Ask for His grace. You have tried by your own effort for years now, and you are keep on failing. You have tried many times, and you can't overcome that thing that bothered you in your life, in your whole life. You have tried many times, and you are still, you are thinking you are a failure. You are not a failure. You are a child of God. You are a daughter of the living God. And that mighty God is here to grant you that total deliverance. That mighty God is here to grant you a new beginning. And in that new beginning, you live an overcoming life. Why don't you humble your heart now, as Daniel did? Why don't you go into prayer and supplication? Why don't you go into humbling yourself, asking for God's mercy, so that you can overcome that sin, you can overcome that weakness, you can overcome that spiritual laziness that doesn't let you read the word, that doesn't let you give God His due place in your life. Let's all pray. Let's pray. Oh Seigneur notre Dieu, je viens auprès de toi, Seigneur Jésus-Christ. Oh Dieu d'amour et de grâce, Seigneur Dieu de miséricorde et de compassion, je viens auprès de toi, mon Seigneur et mon Dieu, te remercier et te louer, Seigneur Jésus, pour le privilège et la grâce, oh Seigneur, que tu nous accordes encore une fois de nous tenir dans ta présence, oh Dieu. Seigneur, ces choses, oh Dieu Tout-Puissant, oh Père, c'est à moi que tu as parlé, oh Seigneur Jésus. C'est à moi que tu as parlé, oh Seigneur. Je ne vais pas les mettre seulement sur les autres, oh Dieu. Je vais considérer mes voies, oh Seigneur Jésus. Je vais considérer mes voies, oh Seigneur. Quand je vois, oh Père éternel, que je perds le temps parfois inutilement, Seigneur, sur les choses qui n'ont aucun bénéfice, oh Seigneur Dieu, quant au royaume de Dieu, oh Seigneur. Quand je peux voir, oh Seigneur Jésus, que je n'utilise pas correctement, Seigneur, le temps que tu m'as donné, oh Père. Oh Seigneur Dieu de gloire, oh Dieu d'amour et de grâce, je viens te demander, oh Dieu, de me pardonner, Seigneur Jésus. Pardonne-moi, oh Dieu de gloire. Pardonne-moi, oh Seigneur éternel. Pardonne-moi, oh Dieu de miséricorde. Que je puisse, oh Dieu, appliquer mon cœur à la sagesse, oh Seigneur. Que je puisse, oh Dieu Tout-Puissant, ouvre mes yeux, Seigneur, à comprendre, oh Dieu, à compter correctement, Seigneur, les années que tu m'as données, Seigneur Jésus. Ouvre mes yeux, Seigneur, à comprendre et à savoir compter correctement, Père, les années que tu m'as données, oh Seigneur, oh Père éternel, que je puisse utiliser mon temps, oh Dieu, pour ton peuple, oh mon Seigneur, que je puisse être plus consacré à ton œuvre, Seigneur, que je ne l'étais auparavant, oh Dieu, que je puisse être plus, oh Dieu, au service de ton peuple, que je ne l'étais auparavant. Oh Seigneur Jésus, oh Père éternel, pardonne Seigneur Dieu, pardonne ma paresse, oh Seigneur Jésus, pardonne, oh Dieu Tout-Puissant, ma négligence,
ce Seigneur. Oh Dieu bien-aimé, ma négligence, je t'ai pris que tu puisses les pardonner, Seigneur Dieu. Oh Père éternel, aide-moi mon Père et mon Dieu à commencer une nouvelle marche, Seigneur. Aide-moi, oh Dieu tout-puissant, à avoir les yeux fixés là au calvaire, Seigneur. Oh Père éternel, là, vers les buts de la vocation céleste, oh Dieu. Oh Père Dieu de miséricorde, oh Seigneur éternel, oh Dieu de gloire, je t'ai pris, Seigneur, pour ma famille, oh mon Père et mon Dieu. Je t'ai pris pour mes enfants, oh mon Père et mon Dieu. Aide-les, Seigneur Jésus, à avoir cette révélation, Seigneur. Oh Dieu bien-aimé, de savoir compter leurs jours, Seigneur. Oh mon Dieu bien-aimé, car je sais, Seigneur, que les jours mauvais les attendent, Seigneur. Oh Dieu bien-aimé, les jours mauvais les attendent. Le diable est là, Seigneur, les attendant, oh Dieu, dans les jours à venir, dans les temps de l'adolescence, oh Seigneur, dans les temps, oh Dieu tout-puissant, qui sont devant eux. Je les confie entre tes mains, Seigneur. Oh Dieu tout-puissant, que tu puisses ouvrir les yeux à ne pas se livrer, Père, au plaisir de ce monde, oh Dieu. Seigneur, je t'ai pris pour toute cette église, oh Dieu. Oh Père éternel, Dieu de gloire, tous nos jeunes gens, Seigneur Jésus. Oh Dieu tout-puissant, les jeunes gens, les jeunes filles, les enfants, oh Dieu, que tu puisses ouvrir nos yeux, Seigneur, afin que nous puissions compter correctement le temps que toi tu nous as alloué, Seigneur Dieu. Que ce soit réellement, Seigneur, un temps que nous passerons, oh Dieu, à te servir, Seigneur. Ces enfants, oh Dieu, dont le diable a piégé, Seigneur, dans cet âge numérique, oh Dieu, dans cet âge digital, Seigneur. Le diable a placé beaucoup de choses là derrière, Seigneur, oh Dieu, pour les piéger, pour les attraper, Seigneur, afin qu'ils puissent passer leur temps, oh Dieu, à les perdre dans les distractions, Seigneur Dieu. Je te prie pour tous nos jeunes, Seigneur, pour toutes les mamans, oh Dieu, pour tous les papas, Seigneur, oh Dieu, pour le ministère dans cette église. Oh Père éternel, que tu nous bénisses, Seigneur, que chacun en ce qui le concerne, oh Dieu bien-aimé, puisse utiliser son cœur, appliquer son cœur à la sagesse, oh mon Seigneur, pour que nous puissions réellement utiliser le temps que tu nous as donné correctement, oh Dieu. Oh Seigneur éternel, nous nous confions entre tes mains, Seigneur. Bénis-nous, oh mon Père et mon Dieu. Assiste-nous, oh Père Dieu de gloire. Accorde-nous ta grâce, oh Dieu. Bénis ton peuple, oh mon Seigneur. Oh Dieu tout-puissant, aide-nous, Seigneur, à être des meilleurs serviteurs que nous ne l'étions avant, Seigneur, mon Dieu. Aide-nous, Seigneur Jésus, à être une meilleure église que nous ne l'étions avant, Seigneur Jésus. Aide-nous, oh Dieu, à savoir réellement, oh Dieu, placer nos priorités correctement, Seigneur, et te placer toujours en premier lieu, Seigneur notre Dieu. Oh Père éternel, bénis ton peuple, mon Seigneur. Nous nous confions et nous nous recommandons entièrement à toi. Loué soit ton Saint-Nom, reçois ainsi la gloire, reçois la puissance et l'honneur. Nous te remercions ainsi, au nom de Jésus-Christ, notre Sauveur.
Amen. Give us a song, brother, please. After this song, we are going to call Brother Mike to pray for the needs of the church. We're going to pray for the sick people, for the church planning of this whole year, and commit the weekend service into God's hands. And also, he's going to pray for our going home. Give us a song, brother.
He poured in the oil and the vine, a cup that restored my soul. I was sinking down on the chair. When he poured in the oil. my soul. I was sinking, dying on the Jericho road, when he pulled in the oil and the wine.
Shall we pray? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity for us to gather around thy word, Lord. We thank you for the food in due season, O God. We thank you, Father, for speaking to us through your servant, O God. And Lord, we can see that our hearts are pricked tonight, Lord. And there's fire burning down within our soul as your word came to us, as we realize how we have wasted time and time and time, oh God. And Father, we think and we can understand that, Lord, David felt the same way when he said, "Search me, oh Lord, and try me, oh Lord, and see if there be any wicked ways in me." Father David, Lord, of all your blessing in his life, Father, he would have thought that he's making his way right down to heaven. But for that point in his life, he paused and he looked into himself and he wanted to be sure and double sure that all is well with him. So he came before you crying unto you and pleading and saying, "Lord, please search me. I know myself, but Lord, I want you to search me. I know I'm doing things right, but Lord, I want to be very sure. Search my heart and see I am on the right way." At a time in his life, Lord, Job paused and said, "My children by now might have had some gathering and might have said something that is not right at the sight of the Lord." So he prayed for his children. Lord, Christians, Lord, at this time of our lives, sometimes we need to pause and retreat and look into our life and see if we are on the right road, O God. Father, we thank you, Father, for bringing this to our attention. And tonight, our prayer, O God, is that, Lord, you shall search our hearts, Lord. Search our innermost hearts, our ways, Lord. See if there be any iniquity in us. See if there be any transgression in us. See if there be any sin within us. Oh Lord, have mercy unto us and look at us through thy blood that you shed on the cross of Calvary. And wash us, oh God, and cleanse us and purge us, oh Father, and put us back right on the way where you placed us, Father. For Lord, we can see the end in sight. The devil is mad, doing all that he can to dissuade and to stray your people, Father. Tonight we thank you. As we leave, Lord God, we are carrying this message right through our heart. We are going home to continue these prayers, oh God. And from this time on, we pray, Father, that you shall give us wisdom in counting our days. Give us understanding, oh God, spiritual insight to know how late the hour is, Father. Help us, Lord, to devote most of our time to thy word, knowing that one of these days, if you should call us, oh God, you're going to leave all the music behind, all the Facebook behind, all the WhatsApp, the YouTube, Father, all the work that we have been doing, the busy up and down, the cars, oh God, the shoes, the dresses, you're going to leave them all behind, and we have to come home. And when we do, oh God, we have to give an account of the time that you gave us on this earth. Oh, Father, we don't want to be found wanting on that day, Father. We pray, Father, from henceforth, Lord, that, Lord, you shall prick our heart continuously, that we shall keep pausing, even on our Christian pilgrimage, that we shall search our heart, and we shall call upon thee every day and ask thee, Lord, are we on the right road? Is my character what, Lord, you want me to be? Is my behavior, my attitude, Father, is my the love of the things of this world, is that what you want me to be? And Father, may you change me and you transform me. Thank you so much. We love you, oh Lord. Blessed be your name. We thank you for your minister. Father, may you
Furnish him with more of such insight, O God, for we desire more of this, Father. May you bless him, I pray thee, Father. Whatever I have gone out of him, may you replenish him, O God. We pray for our pastor who is away in Kalo. Bless him and breathe him there as well, Father. Minister grace upon him in the name of Jesus. We commit our brother Maswell, who is not well, into your hands, Father. Strengthen him, I pray thee, Father. And any other believer, other brothers and sisters who are not well, whoever they are, those who couldn't come, Father, we commit them all into your hands. If there should be any one of us who is in any trouble, any need, Father, please be merciful, Father, and meet all needs in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, if the devil has aim against any of us, oh Lord, we all run into your name, for the only secure place is in your name. For the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are always safe. Cause us all to run into your name, oh God, and take cover from any spiritual sword that has been thrown against us, oh God. Protect us and deliver us. Bless this church, Father. Our needs, we place them before you, Father. Lord, please answer our prayer. We pray as we live here, Lord, we are not leaving your presence. Cause your presence to go with us in our homes, in our cars, in our sleep, in our house, in our rooms. Father, cause your angels to be with us. May they take their positions, oh God. And as we sleep tonight, Father, we want you to take a walk with us in the cool of the night. Come and have a walk with our spirit, Father. Speak to our souls and make an encounter with us, that by your grace, if there should be a tomorrow for us, Lord, and we are open our eyes by your grace and we stand up, Father, we shall talk about the night when you came to us in our dreams, Father, and we shall give you the glory. We bless you so much, Father. We commit Sunday into your hands as we are coming back. Oh God, give us grace. Let us find our feet here with a renewed spirit in us, Father, with a renewed endeavor to come and to place the things of the Lord as the first things of our hearts always. That is our desire and that's our prayer. Grant it now, Lord, we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Going to dismiss. God bless you for coming, and may God lead you safely back home, and hope to see you Sunday for our services on Sunday. This Sunday we have two services, amen, as usual. Give us a song, brother, and may God bless you.
Take the name of Jesus with your child of sorrow and of will joy and comfort give you. Take it and wherever you go, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet, joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus with you, as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, pray that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth.